All right, looks like Miss Gail is in the back for 4 years old to 6 years old. If you'd like to go to Children's Church, you can head back that way. The rest of you, if you will, open your Bibles up to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. It was about 16 years ago and 1 month today, December the 31st, 1999. The world stood in great anticipation of what was about to happen. There was a great fear across the globe. There were newspaper reports of potential major blackouts, communication problems, attacks of foreign nations, banking problems. All those things were about to take place because the calendar was going to change from 1999 to the year 2000. How's this going to affect us? Man, there was a lot of fear talk. People were afraid. If you don't believe that, go back and check how many generators were bought about that time for fear that they weren't going to have any power in the home. They bought them just in case. And then we realize January the 1st of the year 2000, nothing happened. Not a thing changed. There was no reason for fear. You know, typically a lot of the fears that we have in life are very similar to that. Most of the things we're afraid of never happen. Looking back, that's a reality, but also it's true that fear is a very human emotion. It's one that all of us have from time to time, and it's not one you have to teach. You don't have to teach a child to be afraid of the dark. You don't have to teach a child to be afraid of thunderstorms. That kind of comes natural. And then as they grow up, when they're teenagers, you know, there's something about this feeling of rejection. Most teenagers fear rejection. That's why they have self-esteem as a major problem for our teenagers. And then as we get older, there's fears like a money crisis or losing your job. And then as a senior adult, there's the fear of dying. You know, we all face different fears all through our life, different stages. Fear is like a lifelong battle against an ever-changing enemy, but it's real. And you know, the fear that most people have, that as it happens, there's a fresh reason for it, but yet at the same time, the Bible tells us don't be afraid. Let me tell you a truth. Here, let me tell you a truth. January 22nd, 2001, Candace McLean in the Report magazine said this: ordinary children today are more fearful than psychiatric patients were in the 1950s. They have more fears than psychiatric patients had in the 50s. That's how we see the changing of this in our world. Now let me ask you this: can a person be happy? Can a person live confident in their faith and be afraid at the same time? Not typically. Those two things kind of clash. For all the noise fear makes, and all the ways it manifests itself, fear does little good in our life. Most of the time, fear just brings sleepless nights, difficult days, worry, anxiety. You know what changes the world? Faith. Faith. Faith is what turns people around. People who refuse to cower to the fears. Fear's a reality, but faith stands in direct opposition to our fears. Faith, the Bible over and over tells us to have courage. Fear walks you into a prison cell and slams a door. Faith releases you. Faith releases you. You know, no wonder Jesus wages war against fear. If I was to ask you, what command did Jesus often give those followers of his? You know, we'd say, well, the greatest command of all is to love God and love people. That's a pretty major, important thing, right? 8 times in Scripture, we're told to love God and love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the greatest commandment. 8 times. Did you realize Jesus 21 times tells people, do not be afraid? 21 verses 8. If the disciples were taking note of anything, they would have taken note of this. Jesus was calling us to courage. Scripture always does. You remember when Joshua was taking over the nation of Israel after Moses had died? You remember what the commandment was? Be strong and courageous. Because courage stands in opposition to fear. Matthew 10:31, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." Matthew 6:25, "I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough." Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Luke 24:38, "Why are you frightened?" He said, "Why are your hearts filled with doubt?" John 14:27, "Do not be troubled or afraid." Over and over again, Jesus tells his people, listen, don't be afraid, trust me. Live by faith. In Psalm 91, the writer of Psalm 91, his faith in God, he says, is as a protector, and he will carry him through all the dangers and fears of his life. You know, we live in times, in this county right now, there is a lot of fear. We talked about this last week. Last week and this week, I felt the Lord laying on my heart. Last week, the Egyptians had backed the Israelites supposedly into a corner, except for what they didn't realize is the Israelites were exactly where God had put them. They were in the center of God's will, and God made a way. Today, we're going to talk again about this issue of fear and where we are as individuals with fear and courage and faith in a time when, you know, we look around and there seems to be on all sides of us things to worry about or be anxious about. Fears may fill our world, but listen to me, they don't have to fill our heart. It will always knock on the door, but remember, we don't have to invite it in to take up residence with us. The promise of the Lord and the contention of the Bible are very simple. We can fear less tomorrow than we do today as we learn to trust in Him. Jesus is the one who calmed the sea. If you remember that story, the winds and the wave of the seas left the disciples afraid, and then they went to Jesus, who was asleep at the time, and He calmed the winds and He calmed the storm. And when the story was said and done, they said, "What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this who looks at a typhoon and sleeps through the typhoon and silences the wave with one word?" Jesus was trying to show those disciples something about Himself. And I'm telling you today that when life brings those moments where anxiety is high, Jesus wants us to know something about Him, and that's this: you can trust me. I think we need a big dose of that. You can trust me. He's the picture of a man who trusts in God in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 16. Follow along with me. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and you see recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon lion and cobra. The young lion and the serpent will trample down. Because he loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation." You know, Martin Luther wrote a song that's a very old and traditional and powerful song. It's called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." It became the great rallying cry of the Protestant Reformation, which is where we all today came out of that Protestant Reformation, and our beliefs came from that time. And Martin Luther wrote in this song, the third verse, listen to this: "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. One little word shall fail him. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus. You know, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. You know, any threat that Satan throws against us is defeated by Jesus. That's the idea of this 91st Psalm. Whatever comes against me, whatever comes against me, God can handle it. You know, we like to think about that. We like to talk about that, but it's a lot harder to practice that. Verse 2 says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. That reminds me of a Bible verse that often, as I go to hospitals, I think about it. Psalm 46, the Lord is my rock and my refuge, a very present help in time of need. You know, I like the verse because it says this, he's not just our help, he's a very present help. It means we don't just serve a God who did something hundreds or thousands of years ago. We don't just serve a God who opened the sea and let a whole city of millions of people, a whole nation of people go through thousands of years ago. We serve a God who today opens the seas, who today changes situations in our life. Our God is a very present help. He's not a historical fact. He's a present help. We need to be mindful of that. Our God is a present help. He can walk on the scene of your life and He can make a difference right now. He's an on-time God. He shows up. He shows up when life gets difficult, from the middle of the fiery points in our life. If you don't believe that, ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who in the fiery furnace, God showed up. Christ showed up to make a difference. In your life, when things are difficult, when things are scary, when you're troubled, when you're worried, when you're anxious, the Lord will show up if you seek His face. Relationships can be a struggle. Problems at school can be real. Problems at work. You feel as though maybe you can't get a prayer through. Times like that in our life, it's good to know that the Lord is a present help. He's there now. Even this morning as you came into this church, if there's problems that you're bringing, problems that you're carrying, He says this, cast your cares on me for I care for you because I'm a present help. He's not just the God of the Israelites thousands of years ago. He's the God of Arnie. He's the God of Cindy. He's the God of Ronnie. He's the God of David. He's your God, a present help. And that's what the psalmist says. He's my help. You need to know that this morning. But not only can we trade our fears for faith because He's present, we can trade our fears for faith because He is a God who is a protector and provider. Look at the words this psalm uses. In these verses, he uses the words shelter and shadow. Those are ways of describing His protection. Like a mother bird guarding her young, protection is given to God's children. Verse 11, look at verse 11. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against your stone. Against a stone. You know what? This is a promise here. Now, I don't believe that there's guardian angels that go around with us all the time. I don't think there's any scriptural basis for that. Maybe there are, but there's no scriptural basis to point to that. But this scripture right here tells you there will be times in our lives. We don't know when. You can't plan them. There may be moments that God sends guardian angels to you to take care of you through the crises of your life. You know, I've read stories. I don't know if they're true or not, but they sure seem to be without explanation. I was reading a story of a guy who had had a bad car wreck. He was on the side of the road, no way to get out of the car. All of a sudden, somebody shows up on the scene, gets him out of the car. Then the police come after it's been reported. And then he goes to tell them the story of how that person helped him out. And they're looking for that person. Guess what? That person's not there. Did a guardian angel show up on the scene? May have. Would Scripture say that could happen? You bet. You know, there's a lot of things about God we don't understand. But one of them, as I read this Scripture, says, hey, He will give guardian angels at times in our life to protect us, to provide for us in those moments of crisis. You know what? We can't put God in a box. We can't say, well, I've never seen that before, so it can't happen. Because let me tell you something, God's bigger than our boxes. God's bigger than our boxes. God says, I'll protect, I'll provide for my people. You know, like Paul, when adversity hits, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say, I can do all things. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The power is not ours, it's in Christ. In ancient times, you know, there was a... If you go back and you look at maps of ancient times, you'll see all the early civilizations, there was one thing they had in common. They always rose up around water. Water is a necessity for mankind to exist. Even today, you know, with the big flare-up in Flint, Michigan about lead in the water. Because, man, you got to have good water. Well, in Jerusalem, they didn't have a river. And water, as I said, was essential for lives, for maintaining and making agriculture possible, for facilitating trade with other peoples. The problem was Jerusalem didn't have any water, didn't have a river. Its only water supply was something called the Spring of Gihon. Knowing their enemy, the way that a lot of times battles would take place is these armies would move in, they would cut off the water supply. You cut off the water supply to a city, you got nothing. Over a period of time, people begin to die. Then you overcome the city. Well, Hezekiah knew that. So what happened was he channeled the water outside to an underground tunnel into Jerusalem. And though Jerusalem might be under attack, there was still water flowing inside so that the enemy couldn't see. You know, they still had provision even when they might be surrounded by an enemy. Let me tell you how that relates. In our life, as the enemy comes against us, as the problems pile up, as fears arise, the Bible says this, like Jerusalem's river flowing inside, the Lord promises living water. Jeremiah 17:13 says, God the Father is the fountain of living water. Jesus in John 7:38 says, He who believes in me from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We have a supplier who takes care of our needs. In the midst of the attack of the enemy on our lives, the Holy Spirit of God fills us with faith and confidence to overcome the situations of our life that seems to be such a struggle. Paul says, my God, here's how he says it, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You believe that this morning? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. The good news from heaven today is if we lose everything on the outside, if we lose prestige, if we lose money, if we lose health, you still have a river, the river of life. Fear sells. You know what? You look at the newspaper today, fear sells. The media, you know, as they report the stories, we live in a time and a culture like no other. Hey, global warming, we're doomed. Y'all hadn't read that? We're doomed. Global warming, it's over. Right? You've heard that? Y'all have heard that, right? Earthquakes. Man, there's big fault lines running through DFW. How about the AIDS epidemic? Remember that from a few years back? Tsunamis. One after another, after another, after another. Economic collapses on the doorstep. Does it ever stop? There's a stampede of fear in our world today. Let's not get caught up in it. You know what? Fear attacks faith, but faith wins if we look to faith. But fear will win if you allow it to win. Let me tell you something. I'm going to close with a story. On March 3rd, 1943, bomb raid sirens went off in London, England. Workers, shoppers got out of the stores, got out on the sidewalk, started scanning the skies, looking for enemy planes. Brakes screeched on cars and they ran to the curb and got out and began to look around. Gunfire could be heard in the distance. Anti-aircraft launched a salvo of rockets. People began to cry in the streets and began to scream for help as they all searched for these enemy planes. People raced toward the Bethnal Green Underground Station. It was a place of refuge, a place of safety from air raids. In the next 10 minutes, 1,500 people would join them in this underground station. The trouble began when a rush of safety seekers reached the stairwell entrance all at the same time. There was 19 steps from the ground level to the underground level. And a woman carrying a baby lost her footing on one of those 19 steps. And she began to fall down, causing a domino of others to stumble. And they began to fall. Within seconds, hundreds of people were thrown together. To make matters worse, some of the latecomers to the safe place began to feel like they were being blocked and not able to get in, so they began to push. The chaos lasted less than 15 minutes. The disentangling of bodies lasted until midnight. In the end, 173 men, women, and children died that day. No bombs had been dropped. The Germans didn't kill the people. Fear did. Fear's payday is panic. Sleepless nights, doubt, anxiety. And there's a stampede of fear out there. Let's not get caught up in it. Let's recognize the danger, but not be overwhelmed by it. Let's number ourselves among those who hear a different voice. You know, we can hear the doom and despair just by turning on the television, but let's incline our ears and our hearts upward and into God's Word. And because as we do, we become and we will start to fear less. Because let me tell you something, courage doesn't panic, it prays. As I said, there's a difference between fear and courage. We all have fears, but courage doesn't let the fear overcome it. Courage prays. It hears the voice of Jesus through the Scripture and saying, "Fear not." We say, "We believe, Lord." We listen to the voice of the Lord say, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And we do. I'm going to tell you something. When this world began, fear didn't exist. Go back to the Garden of Eden and show me any place where there was fear until Adam and Eve sinned. And it says they were naked and then they were afraid. Fear came into this world as a result of sin. Until then, there was trust. What we have to do as believers is not be overtaken by fear, but we have to go back to trust. Place our confidence in God. And no matter what happens around us, we know that God cares for us, and so we trust in Him. You know, the Bible says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and discipline." Fear doesn't come from God. It's the opposite of what He asks from us, which is trust. You know, this morning, we can turn on the news and we can read of the trouble that we may be facing economically. And that's a problem. It is a problem. But I'm also telling you that we serve a God who is able to overcome problems, who's able to fix problems, and a God who says this, "I care about you." That's what I choose to believe today. I choose to believe in a God who cares about me. And you know what? I've got evidence of that because I see a cross. And I read the story of the cross, and I read about a God who came to this earth, who died on a cross, who's not going to leave us out to dry. I believe in a God who cares. How about you this morning? Will you trust Him? You know, fear's real. Fear is what the devil often uses to keep us from Him, to keep us from God. I remember as a 16-year-old, I went to church, and I listened to a sermon, and I knew God was speaking to me, and I knew what I needed to do in my life, and I knew that I needed to step out from that pew, come forward, and say, "I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus." I knew all that was true. I didn't have any doubt. But I'll tell you, one thing kept me from it. I was afraid. I was afraid of what others might think. I was afraid of what others, you know, I was just afraid of what it might mean in my life. I didn't have a clue. I was stupid. I should have been smart enough to realize if God wants me to do something, it's the right thing to do. Don't listen to any other voice. But I didn't. For 4 years, I didn't go back to church because I was afraid. You know what? Fear only pulls you away from God. Faith walks you towards God. We get to choose what we want to live by. This morning, do you want to live by fear or do you want to live by faith? That's what this invitation time is all about. We get to make our choices. Lord, I trust you. Or Lord, I'll handle this. Two choices, two different outcomes. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for your word and a reminder that no matter what we face, no matter what problems that we're dealing with, that, Lord, you can handle them. We can turn them over to you. We can cast our cares on you because you care for us. And that, Lord, no matter what happens, you enable us to do all things through Christ. This morning, I just pray, Lord, that in this time of invitation, as we listen for your voice, as we really, Lord, if there's anxieties or worries or fears that are eating up some people today, then, Lord, I just pray they'd give them over to you. If there's people here today who need to trust you as their Lord and Savior, that today is the day they make that decision, a decision that'll change their life forever. Lord, as we hear your voice, may we respond in courage and faith. In Christ's name, we pray.